Sometimes Brother Brandon always comes to me and asks if I have a certain or particular song I would like to have sang before the lesson, and I really couldn't think or didn't have one this morning. However, I have, in the process, I've been working on a lesson that is entitled No Room for Christ, and that song that we just sang about there being room in the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful and marvelous thing that when the parents of Jesus went into the town to prepare for his birth, they could not find any room available. But now we have the availability in God's kingdom. There's room for all who are willing to come to him and submit their will unto him. It's good to see each and every one of you out here this morning who have gathered to worship God. I don't know if I should say anything or mention anything. I didn't say anything to Brother Henry. I have been a little concerned with Brother T.L. Allen. And so I've kind of put Mom and some of the others on the mission to try to find out. And yesterday, Mom informed me that he is in some form of assisted living. I don't know. I don't know the whole thing. So, but I did think I thought I should mention that. I know he hasn't been with us for several weeks, and I sort of been inquiring if anyone knew, and since we're related, and Mom and her sister Patsy seem to be informed about family matters, they're kind of checking in on that for me. So I thought I would share that with you this morning. It's always been interesting, amazing, and even sometimes mind-boggling to notice the many ways or methods in which God used to teach people lessons. That we mentioned, or that Brother Brandon mentioned this morning in our Bible study concerning the plagues that were put upon Egypt and Pharaoh for the purpose of showing and teaching not only the Egyptians, but the children of Israel some very valuable and important lessons, showing the power of God in certain ways. When one reads and studies their Bible, they read and they find that there are many different things that are used in the Word of God, in God's revelation to man, that show the different ways or the different means in which God used to teach lessons. One of the first things that we teach our children, even before they begin to go to school, when they begin kindergarten, or I think there's even a level now even before kindergarten, but one of the things that we as parents teach our children is their ABCs. We not only teach them their ABCs and how to say their ABCs, but we also teach them how to count. And we're so proud, or blessed, maybe I should use, when our young children are able to count from 1 to 10. And then I begin to think about that, and I think about all the time that God uses in His Word, numbers. Numbers are used to teach lessons. Jesus, when He was teaching, would use numbers to show how important certain things were, or certain things should be. The number one, for example, Jesus would teach the importance of unity being among God's children and God's people. We know that from the writings of the Apostle Paul, that the number one is important. There is one faith, one baptism, one God, one Lord. And then there's the number two. Jesus taught a lesson concerning that we cannot serve two masters. Lessons are taught about division, where the church of our Lord is separated or divided into two. And we could go on and we could look at the number three. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish. Jesus was crucified and 3 days later rose from the dead. We could look at the number four. We could look at the number five. We can find six. Number seven. Number 10. And 12. The 12 apostles. We can find the number 40. The number 40 used quite often. We can even go as high as using 70 or 144,000. Numbers were used for a purpose in the teaching and the revealing of God's Word. We can all think of how numbers are used in our own lives. And how important these numbers are. As a matter of fact, numbers were important enough that one of the books of the Bible was even named after it. But you know, there's also the use of numbers in the ordinal sense. Like being first, second, or third. And there again, we find revealed in the Word of God how that those numbers are used as well when Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 9 and in verse 35, there Jesus teaching a lesson concerning those who desire to be first. That if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all. There is definite emphasis put upon the fact that there are some things that we need to do first. Like those of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 5, who first gave themselves to the Lord. It's important to be first, isn't it? Especially when it comes to competition. When you ask someone who is competitive, first is always the best. As a matter of fact, many of you, or some of you anyway, may be race fans. I will always remember the words of a very well-known race car driver after trying to successfully win his first race. One night, he came in second. And his father was so proud that he came to him and said, "You came in second." He said, "That just means I was the first loser." Being first is not always the best. Because when it comes to second, there are many things, especially in the Word of God, that are more valuable, that are more important to us because they are second. When we turn to the Word of God and we look at the things that are second in line or second in order, it does not mean that they are inferior or they are less significant, but they are more. So this morning I found it interesting to to share with you some seconds of the gospel. Beginning with the gospel itself is found in the second covenant of God. The first covenant, as we read a few moments ago in the book of Hebrews, or the letter addressed to the Hebrews, as well as other places in Scripture, it was the law of God that God gave to Moses to reveal to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. This was God's covenant. This was God's law in which He would give to a nation of people that were to abide by. And if you were to turn your books, your Bibles, back into the Old Testament, you can begin reading in Exodus chapter 20 and read through the entire books to the end of Deuteronomy, and you will see that God gave this covenant, which was His first covenant. And one would also be able to read in the Word of God, as we did a moment ago in the Hebrew letter, that God, in God's Word, this covenant was given in preparation for one greater, for one to follow. The Apostle Paul would write in the Galatian letter, in the third chapter, beginning at verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verses 31 through 34, again, as that which we read a few moments ago, taken from the book of Hebrews. But even in the Old Testament, the prophet reveals that the covenant, God's first covenant, was one that was only temporary, that it would be replaced at the proper time. The Hebrew writer would also indicate in the letter addressed to the Hebrews that Jesus would come for the purpose of taking away the first, that He may establish the second. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 9. And even though this first covenant that God gave served its purpose in God's plan, it was inadequate. And because of it being inadequate, the second surpassed the first by enacting better promises. And it would be God's everlasting covenant with man. It is the second covenant found in the gospel, that is the gospel, that is new, that is better, that is eternal, and that offers complete forgiveness of sins and hope of eternal life through the sacrifice of God's Son. The gospel is the good news, and it is the second covenant. And it is in this second covenant that another second is revealed. Another second in which it is commanded, and that is a second birth. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is recorded of conferring with a man who comes to him, who approaches him, seeking information. This man, by the name of Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus one night. And he says unto Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. We know this because there is no other man that can do the things that you do. There is no other man that can do the miracles that you do. There is no other man that can teach with authority the way you do, except God be with him. And Jesus said to this man, Verily I say unto you, unless or except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then notice in verse 4 of John, the third chapter, what Nicodemus says back to the Lord. In asking Jesus, he says, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? This birth in which Jesus would go on to explain in verses 5 and 6. That except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This second birth is a birth of the water and Spirit. It is a spiritual birth, and it is a birth that occurs when one is baptized, when one is buried in baptism. And it also involves the work of the Holy Spirit. This second birth is what John described back in chapter 1 in verses 12 and 13. When John wrote, But as many as received him, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is to be born a second time, in which one becomes a child of God. All of us as parents know and understand the meaning and the excitement and the joy that is within us when a child is born. When we have our children and they were born into our family. They were born into your family. And when one is born a second time, he is born into a greater family, having God as his father. Paul would go on in the Roman letter in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that it is the second birth that produces a newness of life. It is the second birth in which one experiences that begins a new relationship with God as their father, with your father. It is the second birth that the gospel reveals and teaches that we begin a new lifestyle, a new way in which we live our lives. Many of us do the things we do because we learned how to do them from our parents. Many of us may even talk the way our mother or father talked. Our voices may be like theirs because we are their offspring. Our appearances may be like theirs because we are their offspring. But when one is born a second time, they are now the offspring of God, in which they look unto Him and how they should live their lives. Lives that are lived according to the way that He has revealed for it to be lived in His Word. Have you experienced this second birth? If you are to have any hope at all of having your sins forgiven and being in heaven when this life on earth is over, you must be born a second time. Not because I said it. Not because some other preacher has stood up here or teacher has stood up here and said it, but because Jesus said it. The Son of God, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. Second's not all that bad, is it? It was the gospel that was God's second covenant with man. It was in the gospel that we learned that we can be born a second time. Sometimes our lives could be in a mess. And there's really nothing that we could do the way our physical bodies, no changes that we could make. Oh, I'm sure that there's probably medical things that can be done. But a second birth can change your life and make you the kind of person God wants you to be. It is in this second covenant that we have also something else that is second. And that it promises the second coming of Christ. The Scripture clearly and plainly teaches and promises that Jesus is coming a second time. Though it does not reveal anything about the day or the time or the hour, it does simply state the fact. Even Jesus made it known and clear in His teachings that He is coming back again. A second time. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew records in more than one place where Jesus spoke the words of His return. In chapter 25 and in verse 31 of the Gospel of Matthew there, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. When the Son of Man shall come a second time. Jesus also stated that because it would be an unknown time, in Matthew chapter 24, many parables were taught by the Son of God of the importance of being ready, of being anxiously waiting and watching. For when He does appear or come a second time, it will be a time of rejoicing for those who are prepared, but a time of sadness for those who don't. When Jesus was gathered with His disciples, I don't want to touch too much on this because this will be in our Wednesday night class. They were gathered together, and there they saw and witnessed Jesus ascend back into heaven. And the promise was made that just as you have seen him go into heaven, he will come again. The writer at Hebrews makes the point that Jesus came to deal with sin the first time. And the second time, it will be for salvation. When Paul wrote Timothy concerning the time of his departure, he told Timothy that Jesus will appear for salvation for those who eagerly await him. We must be prepared. We must be watching and waiting and ready for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For when he comes a second time, he will bring upon something else in which the gospel refers to as being second. When Jesus returns, he will bring with him for those who do not know God, for those who are not ready to meet him, the second death. The first death is inevitable. It is a death of the body. All of us are aware of this death. All of us have seen this death around us. This death has been appointed unto all. But it is the second death in which the Scripture reveals and teaches that can be avoided. Notice the Scriptures that teach that the second death is the destiny of those who do not partake in the second birth of God's second covenant. As Paul would write to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 in verses 7 through 9, that when Jesus shall be revealed a second time with his mighty angels from heaven, it will be to take vengeance in flaming fire on those that do not know God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying the gospel requires or is the second birth. And if you have not been born a second time, you will experience the second death. In the Revelation letter that John wrote in Revelation chapter 20, that in verses 12 there John wrote, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And then in verse 8 of chapter 21, John would write, "The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." If people will die to sin through the second birth, and if these people serve God faithfully and live for God each day of their lives, doing the work God has planned for them to do, as the song expressed a moment ago, they will never have to experience the second death. Jesus mentioned in one of the letters that John was to sin to the seven churches found in the first part of the book of Revelation. The letter that it was to be sent to Smyrna in chapter 2 of Revelation, notice the words that Jesus spoke. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. These were just 4 seconds of the gospel. Being second is not all that bad, is it? As a matter of fact, being second is the most wonderful thing that could have ever happened to us. For had it not been for the second covenant, the gospel, had it not been, or have it not been for the second birth, you and I would have no hope of eternal life in heaven. The greatest thing that anyone can be a part of is something that is second. Living under God's second law or covenant, which is far better and greater than the first. Being born a second time, in which you are put into a right relationship with God. Making preparations for the second coming of our Lord. If you have not done that, then you will have your part and experience a second death. There are many deaths in this life that we read about in the newspapers, that we see on the news, on TV, that we consider as being tragic, awful, terrible. But my friends, none of those deaths that people experience in this life are nothing compared to the second death that awaits those at judgment who do not participate in the second birth in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you haven't experienced that second birth, you need to do so. Because it is that second birth and the life that you live afterwards that will prevent you to be punished with that second death when Jesus returns a second time. If you're here this morning and you're subject in any way to the gospel call, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.